Nice to see you, to see you.
Nice!
If you'd been in my car on that hot summer night in the 90s, you'd have heard them banging tunes and you'd have seen the situation that I got into. I was back in Salford after spending years in Hume and on Darnell Old Whispall Estate out in the sticks. I was driving for a minicab firm in town doing nights. I was into DJing by then, like totally into it. I kept a picture in my wallet of me behind my Dexon mixer with my headphone round my neck, dressed all in black, looking slimmer than Smeagol from Lord of the Rings. On the back I wrote, "House music is my life, for the love, not money." That day had started like any other day. I had 55 mils of methadone and loads of amphetamines. I popped into Vinyl Exchange in the northern quarter to have a route in the 12-inch dance music section in the basement. Them days when you were searching for tunes, there was a method to it. You'd flick through them, lift one up, look at the label, and drop it back down. It's called crate digging. Flick, lift, look, drop. Flick, lift, look, drop. There's a way to stand while you were doing it too. Flick, lift, look, drop. After finding a few gems, I went home and took some more FET. Then I turned my turntables and whatnot on and set about playing tracks and mixing them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, 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 boom. Tonight is party time, it's party time tonight. Dance while the record spins. I recorded it, so I had a new mixtape to play in my motor later. You might not know this, but this was the original way of creating what's come to be known on a phone. It was a Spotify playlist that's set to auto mix. Back then though, the tape alone was enough the size of a phone. I filled both sides up so I had a 90 minute mix that I play on repeat or auto reverse, as it was once known. That weekend was mad, busy. It was Friday, it was Manchester, so it was buzzing. Amongst the party people, I was a pretty popular driver. I'd turn up, off my nut, windows down, music pounding. Quick game, listen to this. I did it earlier tonight, it's party time. Dance with the record spins. I was even like that when it was an old bloke getting in. It was off down the boozer for a few bevvies to celebrate his 90th. Listen to this spin back, mate. I was racing about and taking FET right into the early hours then. I dropped some local boys at a warehouse party at Bowlers. On the way back into town, I went to score some brown because heroin slows you down. I parked up in one of the spots that I used, took it and carried on. About a mile or so later, I gouged out. Next thing I knew, slam! I'd driven into a wall. I stopped the mixtape that I've been playing since starting at 6. Ah, oh, man, what have I done? You'll have to guess what I did next. You've just seen a couple of pages out of one of the bad chapters I've had. In biblical days, one of the characters that took centre stage for a while was David. When he was here, he had some bad chapters as well. He said these words during one of them, "I've sunk into deep mud and there is no footing. I've come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me." What a way to put it. He felt like he was stuck in mud and drowning at once. Truth is, we could all say a few words about what our bad chapters have felt like, couldn't we? Because we all have them to some degree, don't we? They can be self-written, but they can also get written for us. So what different slant can we find in those pages then? Why don't we have a look through them? First up, bad chapters have gold between the lines. Have you ever had a time when someone that you're close to just doesn't quite get you? Apart from your partner, that is, because you'd be here all day. I have, because it happened with me, Dad. I went round to his once. We were in the living room. My dad was sitting near the window smoking a cig and reading his paper. I was sat on the floor with his dog Meg lying next to me. Dad, someday I'm going to write a book about my life. Why would you want to do that? Best keeping your mischief to yourself. A decade later, I signed a contract with a book publisher. The day after, I went round to see my dad, and you know, he was still reading his paper, the same one. Dad, that book that I said I was going to write yonks ago, I'm starting writing it tomorrow. Well, I never. I hope you know what you're doing, Baz. He still didn't get me. Writing a book was never going to be easy because at school I wasn't that bright. I barely learned to write. You could put it another way, I wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. In fact, I made even the blunt ones look sharp. But still, with some extra hands on the keys to sort the grammar out, I cracked on. Within a week of the book coming out, we'd sent a copy to every jail in the UK with a letter. Dear Chaplain, we want to give a free copy of this to every person in your prison. How many would you like? 20,000 copies were ordered. We didn't have any money for them. So do you know what I did? I redeployed my drug dealing skills to get it. Once we'd boxed them off, we sent out another letter to all those that hadn't replied. We ended up sending out another 18,000. And we've sent many, many, many more thousands out since. And one of the ways we've been able to send those books out is through selling stuff through the charity. And when my book came out in 2007, we started a project to give a copy of Once an Addict to every prisoner in the UK. That was one of the things that we set up to do. So if you buy anything from there today, we will send a copy for everything you buy into prison for a prisoner to read for free. Anything. We've changed it recently. But that's the new thing now. Anything that you buy, we'll send a copy into a prison on your behalf, or two copies, depending on how much you buy. As you can imagine, though, I've had loads of letters from prisoners. I was in my hotel in London not long back, on my tablet, scrolling through some of the snippets. Here's one from Stevie's. I've just finished reading Once an Addict, and it was as though it was written about me. It related, and it's caused me to have a rethink about my own journey. This came out of Robbo's. Your book struck a chord. It related a lot. It's caused me to have a rethink, and when I get out of here, I'm going to stay clean this time. This was taken out of Maxine's letter. I really enjoyed your book because it related to me. One day I want to say what you have, that life is my past. This came out of Nicole's. Your book mirrored my life. It related so much, it was freaky. It's given me hope and a sense of some direction. That's just a handful of them. I could give you a shed load more. In fact, do you know what I would have done before now if my dad had still been here? I'd have taken my tablet round to his, grabbed his paper off him, and give him these to read instead. Because then he would have seen that there's value even in the worst of it. Because others have related to those parts of my journey and been inspired to want something better for theirs. I'm sure then he'd have finally got me. Listen. Listen, listen, bad chapters have gold between the lines. There's a man in the Maker's message who managed to find the treasure in his trash. He said, for we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those that love him. What about your journey? What kind of place are you in? It could be that you're in the middle of one of the worst parts right now. I know you can't always see it when you're in it, but take it from me, there is value there. You just need to work out what that worth looks like for you. Listen, bad chapters have Go between the lines. It was a hot summer night in the 90s. I slammed into a wall. I stopped the mixtape that I've been playing since starting at 6. Ah, man, what have I done? Bad chapters have go between the lines. And besides that, bad chapters can come to a close. A mate of mine on the faith scene is Lisa Oyabande. If you met her, you'd want her to be one of your mates as well. And you'd never think for a minute that she'd ever been caught up in the thick of it. You'd be like, no way, Jose. Just like I was when she told me. It all started for her when she was 10, when her mum married a copper who turned out to be cruel. Bradford Social Services got wind of it and she got taken into care. After bouncing round from one care home to another, she got her own bedsit. She had a mate called Gina, who was a working girl. One night, Gina was round at hers. Lisa, why don't you come out with me? She thought, do you know what? I will. She ended up working in the saunas in Sheffield. You should have been sitting there when she was telling me. All throughout those hustling years, Baz, I was smoking weed, taking ease, speed and crack. I was just one mass mess on autopilot. Then she met some people who were different than the usual crowd. They took her to Manchester for a Friday night out. When she got there, it was in a church. Lisa walked in with a long black curly hair, brown lipstick on, wearing black, red or dead ankle boots. As she was sitting down, she heard a woman say behind her, looks like the riffraff are in. I didn't know what to expect, Baz. I was sat there just feeling empty. Then after some music, this guy picks a microphone up and he starts speaking. And he was talking about things going on with me. It's like he knew all about me. He even cracked jokes. And it reminded me of the happy times that I'd had when I used to stay at my nana's at weekend before my mum married the policeman. And then he said that God can meet us where we're at, even in the madness. And if we wanted him to stand up, so I did. Then dead slowly, Baz, something started happening inside. It's like stuff was just melting away. It was crazy. When I got back to Bradford, it felt weird. And I knew that there were going to be some things that I needed to work through. And in time I did. But for me, that weekend was the time when everything stopped. Listen. Bad chapters can come to a close. Oh, and just so you know, she's now married to a doctor. And she's got 4 beautiful children who are part of the faith scene too. There was a community of people early on in them biblical days who got themselves in a really bad place. A poet from the day summed up what God did when he met them there. He said, we came through fire and water, but you, God, brought us out into rich fulfillment. What's going on with you? Maybe you're in some kind of mess, running on autopilot. It could be that you're just feeling empty. Could you do with being met where you're at? Listen, bad chapters can come to a close. It was a hot summer night in the 90s. I slammed into a wall. I stopped the mixtape that I've been playing since starting at 6. Ah, man, what have I done? Bad chapters have gone between the lines. They can come to a close and bad chapters can get rewritten. Raise your hand if you've ever recorded music from the radio. Was that the Charts? On Radio 1 by any chance? I used to do it all the time. Every Friday without fail, I'd record Stu Allen on key 103. He was one of the first to play house music here. After the show, you'd see me sitting there in front of 2 tape decks, starting, stopping, rewinding, getting rid of all his chatter and repeating all the best bits lows. I had the fastest fingers in the north. You should have seen them blisters. They were massive. I was rooting about in some boxes a bit back. Fast out edit. No way. That's one of the cassettes that I recorded ages ago. I wonder what it sounds like now. I converted it to an MP3. When I did the recording, I thought it sounded dead good. I was wrong. That's the cost of caning drugs for you. I mixed music recording off the radio this way for a while. Then I set up a little studio, and after that I got some Technics 1210 turntables and used them. This all went on for like 10 years then. I landed in prison after getting arrested at 3 o'clock in the morning in some public gardens with no clothes on. You've got it, I wasn't well. I was saying to all the officers, hey, God's called me, I'm going to be a famous DJ. You had to be there. I'd sit on the exercise yard with my legs crossed, my head shaved bald, thinking I was Buddha. And as the lads were passing, I'm like, mate, God's called me, I'm going to be a famous DJ. Hey, mate. While I was inside, my ex saw my records and decks. So when I got out, that drug-fueled dream was done. But then my faith journey began. I went to college to find out more about it. Cliff College. Andy Smith worked there. If you cross paths with him, you'd like him. He's quirky, creative, and he had a set of turntables. Baz, why don't you start DJing again? So I did. But I was going to do it different this time. I used his decks and tunes at first, but then I got my own and I set about hunting for vinyl again. I'd mix lines taken from talks in with dance tracks. I was doing mainly youth events back then, but the year 2000 was looming and I was due to graduate. Andy, next year, I'm going to take a teen to Ibiza. Do you know, recruiting for Ibiza was the easiest thing ever. We connected with some people from the faith scene out there. Turned out that the chief of police of San Antonio was part of it. He got us permission to play music on the streets every night. You couldn't make up, could you? One minute they're locking you up, and the next minute they're opening doors for you. 8 till 8, we were there. Some club promoters heard me, so I got to play in some clubs and bars too. Savannah's was one place I played on Sunset Strip. Sundays, we'd be down the beach. Boom, 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 boom. This is my church. Boom, 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 boom. If you'd have been on the team, you'd have seen how the DJing gave us credibility and paved the way for us to engage. We hit some of the big clubs as well, like Privilege, Space, Amnesia and Eden, just to chat, and some of the lads knew us from the streets. The trip worked out well, so we kept on going out there. And when you stop and look at all of this for a moment, you can see what God did. He took that dodgy 10-year music mixing phase of mine and rewrote it. Listen, bad chapters can get rewritten. That guy in me felt like he was stuck in mud and drowning at once said this: God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the door of my heart to him. You see, God jumped on his keyboard and got typing for him. Could you do with some typing doing too? How would it look for you if the big man typed a chapter or two of yours? Thing is, are you up for him getting busy on his keyboard though? Ball's in your court. It was a hot summer night on the night in the 90s. I slammed into a wall. I stopped the mixtape that I've been playing since starting at 6. Ah, man, what have I done? Bad chapters have gold between the lines. They can come to a close. They can get rewritten. And to top them off, bad chapters are where to start writing good ones. If you'd have been stood near me after I'd just finished speaking that lunchtime, you'd have
smelt those hot pasties they were bringing in for everybody, donated from Aldi's. And you'd have seen that blue-eyed bubbly blonde walk up. "Barry, my name's Donna. I got you your flat on Thimble's Close. I used to work at Manchester Housing. I used to work in Leopold Court at that time as well, that hostel you're in before that. I was there when you came in." As she carried on talking, it all came flooding back to me. That day I checked in, all I had to my name was an Adidas bag full of clothes, a black bin bag with a little telly in it, and a tin of tobacco. Oh, and a methadone script. While I was in there, it was Debbie who got me my flat, and she helped me get me grants for my needle core carpets, my second-hand cooker and fridge, and for my sofa to sit on. This is where I was living when my faith journey started and my drug taking ended. And now the woman who got me set up in that flat all them years ago, he stood right there, as you can imagine. It was all a bit surreal, really. And for a minute, I was right back to where I was at. "Do you remember me, Barry?" "Don't be daft." "Of course I do, Debbie. I wondered if you would. Things weren't too great for you back then, so to see how everything has panned out for you since we last met is so encouraging, just shows, eh?" Listen, bad chapters are where to start writing good ones. I had my first Bible in that flat. Someone had given it to me, underlined these words, and I've been fleshing them out ever since. "For I know the plans I have for you, says God. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Watch this. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, God who flung the stars into space, God who spoke the universe into being, he put skin on, he came to this earth, his name is Jesus. And he was tempted just like you, but he resisted temptation. At the age of 33, he allowed them to nail him to a cross. And when he comes on in, do you know what he does? He starts writing chapter by chapter by chapter. See, the big man types out his plans. But it falls on you because the ball's in your court. When you've done a bit of time and spent half your life trying to avoid being sent to prison, going back in to speak like I do can feel a little uncomfy. Going in by choice helps, and so does knowing you're getting out. And when the gate officer calls you sir, say that again and again. It makes up for everything. I turned up at the gate of a jail down London Way recently, HMP Nameless, I'll call it. Going in here is just like going into many other prisons through the staff and professionals entrance. Because that's what I am now, professional. You show your ID, you get your pass, you get checked at security. Then you come to the airlock, which is two hardened glass sliding doors with a small space between them. You wait in the first, the door opens, you walk in, the door closes behind you. You show your pass through the window to an officer. You wait in the next door, that one opens, you walk through that, then it closes behind you. So, I showed my ID. I got my pass. I got checked at the security. Then I came to the airlock, but the first door was open. That's a bit unusual. I walked in, but it didn't close behind me. I showed my pass to the officer through the window, waited at the next one. Didn't open, was there for ages. Then a bloke on the other side wearing overalls comes up, puts his fingers round the edge of the door and slides the door to the side to open it. Then I walk on in. Never seen that before, mate. Yeah, the hydraulics are gone. They're on the way to fix it. When I think about this, it reminds me of God, because he talks about doors. In the Maker's message, it says that he stands and knocks on our doors, the doors of our lives. It just needs us to slide our door to the side, then he'll come on in. So what are you going to do? Because he's standing at your door right this minute. Listen, bad chapters are where to start writing good ones. But the ball's in your court. I'm going to close this out now at the place where I opened up. That summertime when I was driving for the minicab firm in town. It was weekend, Friday, Manchester. It was buzzing. I've been racing about and taking fit all night, right into the early hours, and I dropped some local boys at a warehouse party at Bowlers. On the way back into town, I went to score some brown. A mile or so later, slam. That's just a couple of pages out of one of the bad chapters I've had. And I know we could all say a few words about these, because we've all had them to some degree, haven't we? So I've just seen what different slant we can find in those pages. Please stand. No, if you're able. No going outside for a smoke just yet, Mark. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Right now, God is standing and waiting. You just need to slide your door to the side so that he can come on in. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to invite two groups of people in this room to pray this prayer with me. The first group, those in this room, you've never prayed a prayer to open your door, to let God in before. It could be that you believe in God, but you've never opened your door. It could be that you're searching for God and you've never been told that you need to open your door. It could be you're struggling with the thought of God. Could be you're a 12-stepper and you're struggling with the higher power part of it. Pray this prayer, open your door and see what happens. So the first group, those people in this room, you've never prayed a prayer to open your door before, pray this prayer with me. The second group of people in this room, those of you who have prayed a prayer in the past, you've opened your door and you got going on your faith journey, but for some reason, right now, you shut God out again. Open your door, pray this prayer and allow God back in. I'm going to pray a prayer. They're the two groups of people. Actually, the rest of you, you can make up the third group. You can pray this to encourage the first group and the second group. If you've never prayed the prayer before to let God in, pray this prayer. If you need to re-let him in, pray this prayer. And everybody else, pray this prayer to encourage those two groups. Repeat after me. Dear God, I come to you today and I admit that I'm not perfect. God, I ask that you forgive me for all my faults, for all my flaws, and for all my failures. God, I ask that you wipe my slate clean, because right now I'm sliding my door to the side and I'm saying, come on in. Start writing good chapters, God, and help me find the gold in my bad ones. While the heads are bowed like this, if you prayed that prayer and you're part of the first group or the second group, can you put up your hand? Just so I can see it. Got one here. Put up your hand so I can see it. You prayed that prayer. You're part of the first group or the second group. Anybody else? Got one person. I'm going to count down 10 seconds. And I'm giving you 10 seconds to raise your hand if you've prayed that prayer, the first group or the second group. The guy who's raised it already, you don't need to raise it again. But as I count down, before I start, I want to say this. Park your pride outside. Don't let your pride stop you getting in the way of connecting with the living God today. If you've prayed that prayer, you're part of the first group or the second group. As I count down, anybody else, raise your hand so I can see it. 10. Anybody else? 9. Raise your hand so I can see it. If you prayed that prayer, part of the first group or the second group. Park your pride outside. Anybody else? 8. Anybody else? Prayed that prayer. 7. 6. Anybody else? 5. 4. Anybody else? Raise your hand so I can see it. If you prayed that prayer, you're part of the first group or the second group. 3. Anybody else? 2. Got another one over here. That's fantastic. Put your hands down. Father, I want to thank you for the people in this room. And Father, I pray wherever we are at as individuals on our journey that we will take something of what I've said today and that you would remind them in the week. There's gold between the lines. They can come to a close. Bad chapters can get rewritten, and it's never too late to start writing a good one. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you just want to take your seats?